pecan sign. Next week is Easter, and I'm looking forward to everything that's going to go on next week, but I'm looking forward to today too. I'm so glad so many people got to come today. Last week the weather was so bad. I'm sorry I couldn't get the bus out and pick those up here on this front row. Didn't get to come, and I'm sorry about that, but I am glad you're back today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we look at the scripture that you have for us. What a sacrifice you made. What you were willing to do. What God called you to do. Father, I just thank you that you loved us that much. It's just overwhelming, Father, how you loved us that much. We praise you today and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll be in Luke, the 22nd chapter. I was reading a story this week about a pastor. One of the ladies in his neighborhood, he ran into her at the grocery store. And she was so down and depressed. And he went to her and was talking to her, and she was depressed because she had some serious money problems. She was at the store but wasn't able to really get what she needed because of her money. And the pastor, right there in front of the milk, just prayed with her and spoke blessings on her. A week or two later, he saw this lady walking down the street, walking with her dog, and he went out and spoke to her, and she was in such a good mood and so happy, and he says, "Well, how did your money problems work out?" And she said, "Oh, Pastor, thank you so much for praying for me. I went to the casino and won $3,900. My money problems are over." Now, listen, I can see God works in strange ways, but I'm not sure the casino is one of his agencies he wants you to use to get that. But, you know, so many people look at prayer, and they, because Jesus said to us that ask and you will receive, they believe that what Jesus is saying, you ask whatever you want, whenever you want, and God owes it to you. That's not the way prayer is. Most people think prayer is like a year-round hotline to Santa Claus, that you can just ask whatever you want. The truth of the matter is, prayer is the most misunderstood, most underestimated, most underutilized power that we have. There is nothing you and I have that's more powerful than our prayers. So if prayer is so vital to us, I want us to look today at how Jesus prayed. Where, let me kind of set the scenario for you here. We're finding Jesus probably in one of the worst days of his life. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. he's just hours away from being arrested and crucified. His time to escape is still there, but that escape hatch is closing quickly. And as we read here in Luke, the 22nd chapter, I'm going to start reading in verse 39. And the Bible says, "And he came out and he went as he would want to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven and strengthened him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose up from his prayers and was come to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow, and he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. In this terrible setting here, what is Jesus doing? He's praying to the Father. I bet I could preach a month's worth of sermons off of just this one prayer that Jesus prayed here. These few scriptures, it's so important, so important that we get what Jesus is showing here. So I'm just going to point out a couple of 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 things. No, just a few things about this prayer that we need to understand, that we need to get. First off, in this scripture, we need to understand that we need to pray like Jesus prayed. We want to be like Jesus. That's what we want to be, right?
Amen.
We need to pray like Jesus prayed. And don't you think this is one of Jesus' best prayers? He's about to be arrested and crucified. He is crying out to God. The first thing we need to look at this prayer is understand that when Jesus prayed, he prayed all the time. He was persistent in his prayers. In that verse 39, it says he came out as was his custom, as what he normally did. How many times can we read in the scriptures where Jesus got up in the morning before the sun came up and went and prayed? There are scriptures where Jesus prayed all night long. Jesus was persistent in his prayers. We need to be persistent. Even in this same chapter, in the 22nd chapter, you went back just a little bit. In verse 31, Jesus comes up to Simon Peter and he says, Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have been praying for you. Jesus said, I'm praying for you. Jesus prayed for his disciples every day. He prayed for them by name. Jesus didn't just pray for ourselves. How many times have we prayed for somebody else? So many times. All our prayers are about us. But that's not how Jesus teaches us that we need to pray. So the question is, why do so many people stop praying? Why? Because some people say that it's, I get busy and I get distracted. Really? Jesus is about to be crucified. He thinks it's important enough to go pray. How busy are we? How distracted are we that we are too busy, too distracted to pray? I've had people come up and say this to me. Why do I have to keep praying to God for the same thing? Do you think God needs a reminder? No, God doesn't need for you to remind him. He knew what you wanted before you asked him. He doesn't need a reminder. We do. If we pray persistently, and we're praying for the same thing, maybe God is going to fine-tune that prayer to where what we want fits into what God's will is. We should never quit praying. We should never give up. That's Jesus is saying you should pray morning, noon, and night. Some people, the only time they say a prayer is maybe at a mealtime or something. That's not the kind of prayer that Jesus prayed. He was persistent in his prayers. Some people quit praying because they think that God doesn't answer prayer. They prayed and didn't get an answer.
They didn't get the answer they wanted.
Yeah. You know what it is sometimes, and this is a good reason Linda talked about keeping this journal, is that so many times we pray and ask for God to do something. And it may be 2 or 3 months, years, or whatever down the road, And God answers that prayer, and we don't thank him for it because we forgot that we had asked for that. If we persistently keep praying and praying and praying and writing down our requests, we will understand that, and if you don't know it yet, you should know it, God's timing is perfect.
That's right. Amen.
God's will is perfect. And just because you don't get the answer that you want at the time you want, just keep praying, be persistent, keep crying out to God. It's important that we not give up on praying. It's such a power that we have. It's a shame to waste it. Another thing I saw in this scripture, Jesus says, if you pray, it helps you stay out of temptation. Two times in this, just these few verses here in verse 40 and 46, Jesus urges his disciples to pray so they don't fall into temptation. Reading the Bible and praying are shields against falling into temptation. It's not the only thing. Because we can read the Bible and pray all we want to. It's still a matter of us choosing to make right choices and our willpower to do the right thing. But being in prayer and reading scriptures helps us to have our minds on God, not on the world. And when we have our minds on God, we can resist temptation much easier. I can promise you this. If you're not reading your Bible regularly, if you're not praying regularly, you will encounter more temptation.
Yes.
Because your mind's not on God. I think it's important that we can look in this prayer and we can see that it's okay to talk back to God. God is not going to hang up on us. He's not going to turn his back on us if we call to him and complain or ask him why something happened, even if you blame God. In verse 40 here, Jesus is praying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Later on, while he's even hanging on the cross, he does it even more bluntly. He's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's okay to cry out to God. I'm so glad these verses were in there to show us, to give us the permission that when we pray, it's okay that we can cry out to God. God, why did you let this happen? Man, if this is the way you treat your friends, I'd hate to see how you treat your enemies. You know, we can feel that way sometimes. Sometimes we don't understand, and it's okay for us to cry out to God. He's not going to shut us off. He's not going to turn his back. He's big enough to take whatever it is that you cry out to him for and still love you. We need to tell God how we feel. I think that's an important part of prayer. Open up to God. Tell him about your hurts, your anger, your bitterness, all this stuff that's bottled up inside of you. Cry out to God about that and let God's love start healing you from the inside. If you never are honest and open with God, you're holding this back and it's still there. When you pray, you don't have to be logical. No. You don't have to be cultural. You don't have to be politically correct. You don't even have to use good grammar. Just talk to God. Cry out to God. Let him know how you feel. Finally, I think when I look at this verse, we need to understand that every good prayer has the same ending. Jesus pleaded with God to spare him. But how did he end his prayer? Yet not my will, but yours be done. Listen, the kind of attitude that we have when we pray, all valid prayers are based on this conviction that God's way is the best way, and that's what I want. I think when we say a prayer, we ought to end each prayer with this kind of plea. Lord, you've heard my concerns and requests and what I want. But your thoughts and your ways are so much higher than my ways. They're like the moon and the stars to us. So if my choices and your will don't line up, your way, Lord, is what I want. When Jesus prayed this prayer in Gethsemane, he was asking this prayer because the cross is way too heavy to bear alone. People would look at this scripture and they would look at this and say that God didn't answer Jesus' prayer here. Jesus asked that this cup be removed from him. Now that's God, that's Jesus crying out to God. What his prayer was, God, I want your will to be done. And God did what is best. Not for Jesus, but for you. God did this for you and for me because that's the best for us. God, Jesus didn't need forgiveness. He was perfect. There wasn't forgiveness needed for sin, so Jesus had to die on the cross for himself. God did this for us because he wants the best for us. So God did what was the best for you and I. And you need to understand that. Every time that we pray, we need to be driven to prayer by this promise. When God said, cast your burdens upon me, and I will sustain you. We need to pray persistently all the time. We need to pray to avoid being in situations and temptations because we have our mind on Christ when we're praying. Reading the scripture. We need to be honest with God and cry out to God. Most importantly, whatever it is God wants, that's what we want in our life. I was reading this week, and this is an affirmation that a lady had written that just came out of prison, had a terrible drug problem, done some awful things, I'm sure. I don't know her whole history. I'm sure she had done some awful things. We've all done things that we're not proud of. But this woman wasn't a Christian until she was in prison. She found Christ. And when she got out, she went to a pastor at a church that she joined, and she gave him this affirmation that she wrote. I want you to listen to this. There are things ahead which I truly fear, but we don't. There are obstacles I cannot face, but we can. There are loads that are too heavy for me, but not for us. There are sorrows that I cannot bear, but we can. There are times I simply grow tired of fighting, but we don't. There are times there are barriers that I have no strength to climb over, but we do. I can't walk the Christian life, but we can. I'm so grateful that I'm no longer an I am we. That's who we have to be. It can't be about us. It has to be about us in Christ. We can't do this on our own. You can't live the Christian life without a valuable prayer life, without understanding what God has for you. How in the world can we get through the struggles in life without knowing how to cry out to God? Jesus in the wilderness, how did he defeat Satan? He did it by prayer and quoting scripture. That's how we're, when we're in such a distress, like Jesus was in the wilderness, after he cried out to God, an angel came to him. When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he cries out to God to take this cup from me, God sends an angel to minister to him. When you're in distress and you just don't know what to do, the same angel that ministered to Jesus is going to minister to you too. God doesn't love us more when we're in trouble than when we're not. It's just now we're just more open to him. Because we've tried everything else, and now we're turning back to God. And God always answers those calls. It's important as Christian people to understand what Jesus did. What God did for us is the very best. Every time you pray, that's what you're asking God to do. Don't ask him what you want. Ask him what you need. You should be asking for the needs of other people and wants of other people as well. And you should be reaching out to people. But you got to believe that God is going to answer your prayers. Because he wants the very best for you. And whatever that is should be what you want to. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we see Jesus in this garden, he knows what's coming, Father. But he thought it was important enough to take the time out to cry out to you, because he knew, Father, that you were going to hear his prayer and that you were going to do the very best. Father, I pray that every prayer we make from now on, Father, that we remember that we're just going to keep praying every day, Father, persistently praying for ourselves and for others, that we're not going to quit praying, because Father, we know your timing is perfect, your will is perfect, and we're just going to wait on you, God. Father, I just thank you that we can be open and out front with you. Father, there's no reason for us not to. There's nothing about us you don't know. There's nothing, no thoughts, no deeds that we can do that you're not going to see or know, Father. It's important that we cry out to you. It's important that we stay in the Word and stay in prayer to help us overcome Satan and his temptation. Father, it's important that every prayer we pray, Father, we should want to end it, Father, not my will, but your will be done, Father. I just thank you for a group of people here today who are dedicated and anxious to get out in the world and be what you want us to be, Father. We can't do that unless we can pray to you and talk to you and open up to you and receive from you, Father. Father, today, if there's somebody here today, they feel like they just quit praying because they felt like God didn't answer their prayers. Father, I pray that today they will understand that if you pray to a God and ask Him for something, He's going to want the very best for you. Just be patient, be persistent, and be faithful. Father, I thank you for the power of prayer. You've given us this strength, this ability to pray for other people, to pray for ourselves. And Father, you are a God who answers our prayers. We don't pray to a God that's dead. We don't pray to a belief. We pray to a living God. Father, we thank you as we celebrate this Easter time, Father, that you're willing to do the best for us, even at the cost of your Son's life. Father, I thank you and praise you for it right now, Father. Father, we want your will to be done in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Whatever God's calling you to do, He's not going to force you.